All right, hey everybody, welcome to episode X of Music to Swear By. This is the podcast where I, Tony, invite excellent neighbors over to my house to listen to music with profanity. As usual, we have Neighbor Dave. Neighbor Dave, you want to say hi?
I was taking a drink of brandy at the time when you said say hi, so hello guys.
Thank you, I'm brandy. And hey, special guest this week, first time ever, often mentioned, never here, Neighbor Bob. Neighbor Bob, you want to say hi?
Howdy.
All right, excellent. So, what are we doing today? Now, Bob, do you know the format? You know what we're going to do here?
Not a clue.
Okay, first we've got what we call the Donkey Kong Hour. We go for the Donkey Kong Hour. After that, we do phone sex hour where we make prank phone calls. No, I'm totally kidding you. No, usually the first question out is, did anything interesting happen to you this week? Anything interesting happen to you guys this week?
Dave? Well, for me, my wife is out of town, so it's me and the little guy and a dog.
Oh, and hookers and blow, right?
And hookers and blow. And while my wife has been out of town, I'm trying to replace my front door. And I have a history with doors.
Can you do this yourself?
I can't. I had a previous house in New Hampshire where I was just replacing the bathroom door. I went through three doors before I got it right, and it still was never like
you.
Great.
You purchased three doors?
Exactly.
Oh, wait a minute.
I butchered them.
Did you return them?
No, I ruined them.
How do you ruin a whole door?
I had to trim some stuff off the bottom, and I trimmed too far, so the door was up. 5 inches off the ground, something ridiculous.
The weather seal wasn't all that great.
Yeah, it was just horrible. So I have a bad history. So I decided right away, replacing my front door, there's no fucking way I'm doing it because I'll fuck it up.
Wise choice.
And so we went and bought a door and hired someone to put it in, put the door in, and the hinges are on the wrong side of the door.
Okay.
And that's, again, my fault. I didn't think about it, so... Now I have to return that door.
Oh, because, yeah, if you put the door on one way, the hinges are on the outside, and somebody could potentially take out the pins and go into your house.
No, the hinges are inside, but they're on the wrong side of the door.
Oh, so therefore that you turn the door around the door, and it swings the wrong way.
Right, so now the door opens up into a closet instead of open up and into our, to the rest of our house.
I've been in your house. It's sort of like I'll be looking at the closet if I walked in, but it's not like I would walk into the closet. I mean, come on. How bad is it?
It's not that bad, but, the boss decided that it won't do.
You mean Bruce Springsteen, the boss? Oh, okay. Gotcha. There's a boss that lives at your house. Uh-oh, somebody's walking in the door. I think I know busted. Who we got here.
All right. So that was pretty much it for me.
Oh, no.
In walks Neighbor Brett.
Neighbor Brett. Okay, welcome to the podcast, Neighbor Brett. Neighbor Brett, say hi.
Lick him.
Okay.
Okay, so Bob, did anything interesting happen to you this week?
Something really amazing actually happened to me this week.
Really?
So, yeah, actually a couple of things. Well, the first thing was that I actually got up before the crack of dawn. And went outdoors, and I went for a walk run. First time this year.
Ah. So you say crack of dawn. What time did you go out and do this?
I actually was kind of awake at about 5:30. So I think I actually roll out of bed at 10 to 6, and I was gone. And yeah.
Yeah, wow. That's effing early.
That's really early. That's I didn't get out of bed till 10 o'clock today. Let's let's broaden up the character of Neighbor Bob here. Neighbor Bob. How would you describe yourself? Okay, you're not a tree hugger, right? That's a vicious term.
Tree hugger?
Well, Bob is the most likely to go camping on a cold night. Let's put it that way. Is that a good way to describe you?
Well, let me do the other very unusual story.
Okay.
So, see this t-shirt?
He's pulled up his shirt and is showing us a blackish gray, a slightly washed out. No, it's okay.
Oh, blackish gray t-shirt. Sexy beast. Okay, go ahead.
I've been wearing this shirt straight for 7 days.
Are you kidding me?
No.
At work and everything?
Still smells fresh as roses.
Well, you?
Okay, let's give us some history there. First of all, why?
So, kind of in this.
You've been wearing the same shirt for 7 days.
Yeah. Okay. I wore it to work.
Oh, wait a minute. Okay, so not only did you wear it, you've slept in it. Okay, you've worn it. It's been on your body for 7 days.
Have you taken a shower in the last 7 days?
I did take it off for a couple special occasions, but.
Like a shower?
Yeah, what's a special occasion? Come on. Sex? So.
Dude, you know what? You're like that twisted little kid in Green Bay that wears Brett Favre jersey for like 10 straight years till he like couldn't fit into it anymore.
Yeah. All right, come on. I want to get the history of why you're doing this.
Yeah, why? I want to know why.
Well, I'm on a, returning to natural fibers kick. And nice. This happens to be a wool t-shirt. And on my last bike trip, I reacquainted myself with a wonderful Marvel wool. Mm-hmm. So I could wear the same jersey without stinking for like 3-4 days in a row. When you're riding, 80-100 miles a day and you don't have any access to a washing machine and it's raining and it's cold.
You need to stretch out.
It's really important.
Washing wear is big.
Yeah. So now I'm feeling bulletproof in wool.
So
I broke out this t-shirt and I'm like going for the gusto here. I heard that the Norwegians wear the same pair of wool underwear for like a 30-day expedition.
That's awesome.
It's hard to do laundry in Antarctica. So.
Okay, so after 7 days, does it stink?
No.
Brett, can you confirm?
Brett, get in there.
No,
come
dude,
on,
I'm the
do
guy
it.
With all the sinus surgeries. I can't smell
okay,
shit.
Seriously, time out. You guys want to rock, paper, scissor it?
No, I really can't. I can't smell you guys. I can't really taste
it. I'll give you two out of three. If
I got a cold.
You're going to make me do it?
You're going to do it, Tony. Come on, you're the star of the show. Come on.
It might smell a little smoky.
All right, look the other direction so I don't feel awkward. Stick your hand up. Raise your hand.
Oh, God.
Okay, Bob is standing up. Tony is going in for the sniff under the arm, man. What do we got?
Okay, wait a second. You did have just a slight whiff of body odor, but...
That's because Brett just
farted. It's no more than I would have if I walked to the mailbox and back. I mean, seriously, you smell pretty damn decent.
You go walk to the mailbox, and then Dave, when he comes back, you sniff his taint.
Now we're talking.
All right, hold on. I'm just getting within a foot of Bob. You don't smell. I'm actually pretty amazed because.
Well, I do have the.
Are you putting deodorant on every day?
This was washed yesterday.
Salt deodorant.
No, I'm not doing you, dude.
I've actually worn this undershirt for 4 straight days, but I take it off to sleep. Then anybody? Else?
Yeah. No. I'm not going to test.
And this would be the cotton waffle cotton. Knit. Yep.
Bob has a science behind
Walmart
his experiment. What's going on over there?
Smells like my deodorant.
Yeah, I don't want to smell you two. They both invited me to smell their armpits because yours is the normal guy thing. I'm too lazy to change and wash a shirt. Yeah, Bob actually has thought this out a little bit, but you still haven't said why you're doing it.
He's trying to get back to natural fibers.
Yeah, I'm really
excited.
So natural.
I've got like all my moderator,
pay attention.
Wool,
no.
Good quality wool duds are not all that cheap, so I got to make the stuff that I do have maximum enjoyment. So,
okay. So,
do you have any other natural fiber shirts? Or are you just going
to
wear this?
Yeah,
one
I do, but I can't wear my cycling jerseys to work.
I've got a couple twins wool flannels from the '60s.
Can't wear those to work either, can you?
I can.
I probably
can. Yeah.
You work from home. Or
so
a bar.
Speaking of neighbor Dave, I've come over to your house at like 2 p.m. and seen you working in your robe. I mean,
although,
that's creepy.
Life is
he's
good.
A male escort.
Well,
so
what else are you supposed to wear when you operate a male porn studio?
Oh, even better. Excellent. All right. So yeah, let's move this thing on a little bit. I wanted to acknowledge that we talked about you, Bob, last week. We talked about you because the subject of trains came up. I got stuck in a rail yard a while back. On my bicycle, trying to cut across, and I was complaining. I was freaked out because it was like a game of human Frogger. I had to move ahead 2 tracks, and then a train would come, so I would have to move back a few tracks.
Oh, okay.
And then you guys remember Frogger, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So eventually, I got across these, and Dave made the comment that you need some advice from neighbor Bob to help you out. And I said, why? And you said, neighbor Bob has a train radio.
Because he has a train radio.
Do you have a train radio?
Well, I've borrowed one before.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, it's not really a train radio. It's just
can we do a little 101 on what the hell a train radio is?
Yeah.
I don't know what a train radio is. It's a scanner.
Basically,
it's like a scanner. Please scanner.
I know you know, when I've been hanging around with some train nerds, there's a few guys that have ham radios.
Or is it ham radio? Scanner.
Yeah.
It's ham radio. Just
railroad radio frequency in the United States is in the ham band, one of the ham bands that you can tune into. I don't know much about it, but with the right equipment, you can listen to railroads communicating, you know, the personnel in the field.
So did you actually get live train conductors on there?
Usually what you hear is a dispatcher, and then if you're really close to the train itself, you can hear the train too, but you have to be within, you know, like maybe 2 or 5 miles at the most. Depends on your equipment.
That's actually pretty cool. Is it legal? Because you shot me a look like...
For a ham operator, they can have, as long as they're licensed, they can have their radio with them, and they can listen. Nobody can transmit on that legally,
okay,
unless they're with the railroad.
And
you have to have some kind of training or whatever.
Interesting. And your license is completely up to date, right?
Yeah. And then as far as like scanners, you can use a home scanner, but you can't use a handheld scanner mobile in the state of Minnesota.
Nice.
That's what I've been told. So.
Well, just so you're clear of how it came up last week, for some reason, the trains came up, and I said you should ask Bob, and they said, why? Because Bob is a train fan, or a rail fan.
Train spotter, you called him.
No, I called him a rail fan, and Peter called him a train spotter.
Yeah.
And so they said, what do you mean he's a rail fan? I said, well, he actually listens to the radio. And so that kind of was that's how you came up.
Yeah, I haven't done that much, but I definitely go watch the trains with my boys.
I do too.
Yeah.
In the last year or two, they've barricaded up all the places that we used to go and sit, so you can't even park next to the tracks, you know, where we used to sit.
Oh, I know. Fucking Homeland Security.
Yeah.
So. Assholes.
Should we talk some more, get into a song?
Song. Who wants to go first?
Song time.
Music.
Bob, did you bring a song?
I did.
All right, what do you got?
So, song that I brought is by Bruce Springsteen, and I guess that's...
Yeah, the king! What do you call him? Is he the king
the
or the prince?
The boss.
Whatever, man. Who's the king? Oh, Elvis.
That's Elvis.
So, it's the same fucking guy. Look at those sideburns.
Hey, I just... I'm not an expert on Bruce Springsteen trivia, but I thought this was a pretty cool song because it's for... most of the Bruce Springsteen songs that I've heard, it's a fairly raw recording. It's all acoustic and
cool.
And it has a swear word in it, so I knew you guys would be psyched.
All right, what's the name of the song?
It's called The Big Payback.
And what do we expect for profanity? Big, little, in between?
I think it would be in between.
Do it up!
I bought a scooter and I rented a shack out in the sun by the railroad track. I got a job and I'm a breaking my back, working and working for the big payback. I keep a putting and a putting out, I keep a sweating like a hog it out. I work so long that I'm a losing track, waiting, waiting on the big payback. Well, it's a wham bam, thank you man, goddamn. We got 7 6 on the train up and down. They got your neck in the noose, you're dragging on back, chasing and chasing the big payback. Oh, what my foreman does, well, I don't know. He just throws me a shovel and yells, go, Bobby, go. Oh, well, all day long, he just a diddy whack, whack, while I sweat and sweat with the big payback. Hey, it's a wham bam, thank you, ma'am, goddamn. We got 7 6 on the train, up and down the track. They got your neck in the noose, your hands are tied up and back, and you're up working and working for the big payback. I quit that job, I'm Mr. Ryan, going back. Got me a knife and she's a long black. I'll tell you how I make my pieces like Mac, down in the alley of the big payback. I go a wham bam, thank you, man, goddamn.
come on, man, or you're a going to train rumbling down this track. Got your neck in the noose and I don't give a damn, Jack. I'm on the gone lost highway of the big payback. I'm on the gone lost highway of the big payback.
Right, I like it. I like it a lot.
The boss.
Yeah.
I got
So it's good material. It's got two goddams, one dam, if I was counting right.
Yep.
And he talks about the train.
Yep.
And it's Go Bobby Go. And
yep.
Everybody likes a Bob, so
you've got everybody. This song's
right
in
your wheelhouse. It's got trains and Bob and swear words.
Yeah, that's
nice.
That's nice. You know, I know you know we're doing this podcast, and I know you know it's requires music with profanity. But when we asked you if you had something, you ponied up in a second. I mean, you brought it tonight.
Yeah, well, I've had this one in my mental queue since we first started talking about the podcast. But
nice. How many more songs you got?
Are you a Bruce Springsteen fan?
Well, I like his music, but I'm not. I don't know much about it other than I just bought the Essential Bruce Springsteen album.
It's kind of like the first dip in your toes in.
Yeah, yeah. So I've got a couple other albums and. No, I really like him. He's kind of like a good songwriter, a good storyteller, and he's down to earth kind of music.
Well, there's a dichotomy that I want to kind of explore a little bit because, I mean, he's definitely the blue collar hero, right? I mean, he's the guy who sings about, you know, working for the foreman and, you know, using the shovel all day and all that kind of crap.
Yep.
Has he ever done that kind of work? I mean, the guy's been like freaking loaded for years. I mean, like 30 years, but in his previous history, was he like some kind of laborer? You know, I mean, did he have a history of this?
Yeah, I can't answer that because I just don't know enough about the guy.
I can't answer that either. I have no idea. I mean, you would almost say that he would have to be. Otherwise, somebody would have busted him out and said, look, this is, you know, this guy is like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air or something.
Well, I mean, this is an older song, so you can kind of tell that.
But I think
his blue-collar days were fresh.
Yeah, when he was probably growing up, maybe his dad was a laborer and he saw the struggles that he had, or he heard stories and he lived in some place where there were a lot of, you know, people just trying to get by and busting their hump to make a go. So he absorbed that at a early age, but he was able to turn it into music and stories with his talent. So
it's kind of that whole thing where somebody creates a persona, whether it's real or not. I've got a friend who's in a band that's like that. All of a sudden turned into some Edina born and bred, like, you know, like schoolboy. He turned himself into a Southern, like, whatever, rock singer, you know, and he, like, all of a sudden developed a Southern accent when he was talking to girls and something like that. And Eric, this is not you. I'm actually talking about somebody else. But it was like he created this whole different persona. Then it became him, and he went through his whole 20s being that. And I'm wondering if, like, that's, I know.
Well, that's kind of what I'm getting at with Bruce. I mean, is it real or did he create this persona? I got to assume that it's real. I mean, it sounds real, but, you know, he's so far removed from that life now that it can't be real anymore. It's for the new stuff, but for this old stuff, yes.
Yep. So here's what we'll do. After the podcast, when we're editing this thing, I'll look it up. And I'll throw an Easter egg at the end, which tells whether Bruce Springsteen is a tool or whether he's hardcore.
So you're gonna get the down low on Bruce and give it to us?
Oh yeah, I'm gonna research it heavily.
All right,
I'm gonna go to Wikipedia. Actually, I'm just gonna Google: is Bruce Springsteen a douche or a hardcore guy? Because he's well respected, that's for sure. I mean, his music is well. I don't know much about Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah, the bottom line for me is if I'm listening to his songs and I don't know him very well, I find the stories very entertaining, and I don't like music where the lyrics are just a load of blow.
Yep.
And you know, you might have somebody who has a really good sound, but when their lyrics are just, you know, really light and fluffy or about some trivial, you know, dating situation, and all of a sudden you got this dude talking about swinging a pickaxe and fighting it out with the girl and running down the highway in his rusty old pickup truck and stuff. It's just way more interesting.
Agreed.
All right, so what's up next?
I don't know. What are we going to talk about now? I know what happened to me this week. I got a pimple in my armpit. Yeah, exactly.
Did you pop it?
Well, it itched for like 3 days, and all of a sudden I thought I was getting a rash. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ, I'm getting some sort of, you know, fungus in there. And eventually I took a close look at it, and I noticed it was a whitehead. And so, of course, I popped it. What else do you do? Well, actually, you either lance it or you pop it. Yeah, and I squeezed that thing, and it hurt like the worst hurt I've ever hurt in my whole hurting life.
The best? Oh, I'm glad we're on the
side.
You're going to have to stop shaving your armpits.
No, the best is when you get a pimple, like, anywhere on your face, or sometimes, like, on your neck, I'll get, like, ingrown hairs, you know? And I'll, like, let it fester for a while, and then I'll pop it, and the best is when it pops and just goes...
Squirts all over
on the mirror. On the mirror. And then you're like, dang. And sometimes, like, when you pop it, and it doesn't squirt, it just starts bleeding, and all of a sudden, out comes this, like... telephone pole sized ingrown hair root, you know?
Yeah, you know, that's disgusting, but it's also very rewarding because the pain is gone after that.
And then you get, it's like...
I call that the core, by the way.
The core.
It's like having a box of cereal and you finish it and there's a prize in there you didn't know was in there, you know? That's like when you pop that pimple, you never know what's going to happen. All of a sudden you see like some little nugget of fun in there. And, you know, it's just, it makes all the pain worth it.
That's like premeditated culturing of acne. You know exactly what you're after when... You could just, like, you know, seed them.
What was that again? Premeditated, and then you lost me.
Cultural acne.
Cultured acne, yeah.
Which is what?
Yeah, it's kind of like making your own yogurt.
Well, let's die, yeah.
Well, you just have to be doing one pour at a time.
Subconsciously, I'm doing things that are bad for my skin in an effort to get the reward of a cool splash.
Exactly.
Exactly, yep. You pretty much you just want to
be rolling that nugget going, oh, yeah.
I had listened to a public radio thing on parasites and this and that, and it was I can't think of the name of the show, and it's gonna drive me nuts. Anyways,
was that the one that you were telling me you have to have a certain amount of parasites in your body in order to?
It was that same show. Yeah, they were talking about hookworm and how people cure things with hookworm. But this guy was it was Radiolab. Radiolab is freaking awesome. Go out and find them, and then anyways. They were talking about this guy that got bit by I can't remember what it was, like a hoof fly or a shoe fly or something. And in South America, yeah. And the thing...
Bot fly.
A bot fly. You know this story. And the guy
I have a friend that worked in the Peace Corps down there.
So then, so tell us what happens when a bot fly bites you.
Yeah, well, I don't think you necessarily know when the fly bites you, but it's about 6 weeks later or whatever, and you're back in the States, and you got this big old zit, and you're working on out. Pops like a little maggot.
Well, yeah, it's not common, but that's what it does.
An animal pops out of your zit?
What's common is it bites you, and it itches, and injects...
I'm not looking for that kind of prize in my cereal.
It injects eggs, you know, or an egg. Oh. And over 6 weeks, yes, it gets nasty, and by that time, somebody actually, you know, you'll typically have it lanced, or they'll clean it up, whatever. But this guy was the same type of deal, Peace Corps. So your friend has actually had a bot fly.
Yeah.
Yes. So and
this
he had
sounds a little X-Files-ish to me.
This guy they were talking on Radiolab, actually, he's like, okay, I'm a scientist, you know, I'm working for Peace Corps. I'm going to let this thing grow. So for the better part of, you know, whatever months on end, he let this thing grow in his forehead. And eventually, it got to the point where it would move and he could see it in there. Oh!
And he did it on purpose?
Yeah, he totally did it on purpose. Dude, Google it on Radiolab. It's amazing. Yeah. And eventually, the fly burst his skin, and he could tell it was within a days of coming out. It burst his skin, came out, and he captured it, and it died within like 3 days, and he was super bent out of shape. And it was funny, because at the end, he said, I remember looking back and saying, why the hell did I go through all that, you know, in hindsight? But yeah, you talk about premeditated culturing of something. He let that thing grow into a full-fledged bot fly. And they're disgusting.
That's disgusting.
I'm glad you knew that.
But that's a massive sacrifice for scientific knowledge.
Oh, you know? Yeah. It's a sacrifice by his wife and his employer, too.
But didn't some good come out of that? Didn't he find out something about elevated levels of something in his system? Or was
No. It was
elevated
just
levels of repulsion when other people look at you. That might work.
From the mic.
I want to play a song. I want your song to take us out.
All right.
All right, so Bob, I chose this one for you. I kind of feel like I got a good vibe on you. You know, I think I'm getting to know you. I've been in this neighborhood for just about a year, a little over a year now.
Over a year.
Yeah. So tell me.
Not too good.
Happy anniversary, by the way.
Hey, thank you very much.
Welcome to the neighborhood.
Bob, tell me if I nailed you on this song. You just asked if this is too shit. No, this is Hat Full of Shit for Cletus. this is, again, agoraphobic nosebleed. Hat Full of Shit for Cletus. Brave heart, gotta bleed it, gotta grind. Ah! Did you love it?
I feel honored.
Seriously, is that your style of music?
Maybe on a bad day.
Really actually, bad. You know, I should
that's
say
like
this.
That's colon cleansing music.
Right yeah, there. That's 23 seconds of hell right there. Actually,
colon cleansing music?
That's what I said, yep.
Actually, what did you say on a bad day, Bob? That might be you. I've voted Bob.
You
like
know, under duress, coerced in a prison labor camp with a bunch of really, you know, 300-pound stinky burly, you know, convicts.
Nice. That's awesome. On that day, I would really appreciate Hatful of Shit. Awesome. Okay, hold on. Let me queue up this. Okay, I'm gonna queue up. This is how did you say to pronounce this band? Bador Meinhof.
It's not German. Speech,
Baden Meinhof. Bader Meinhof.
Bader Meinhof. What does that mean? Any idea? Because you actually speak about 8 languages.
I try to speak 1 or 2.
Klingon doesn't count, geek.
Yeah, I don't know. Bader, I don't know what that means, but Meinhof. Yeah, I said that's like my barn or my farm.
House? Is it my house?
Yeah, maybe like my
house.
Something that usually when you talk like about Mikasa? A hof in German, it's like your it'd be like some part of your yard or the forecourt or the space between the barn and the house.
Ah, okay.
And mine just means my, like, it's that's mine.
Mine.
M-I-N-E.
I can relate to that. All right, so anyways, this is Bader, mine, Bader. Say it again for me, Bob.
I don't know, Bader, Meinhof.
Bader, Meinhof.
You're pronouncing it in German.
There's going to be an accent.
You gotta say it with some flair. Bader, Meinhof!
Okay, let me try that. Bader, Meinhof! Bader, Meinhof! There's only one swear word in this whole song, so I gotta listen for it. But it's out. I'll put it up.
Come on, like baby, take my hand.
Whatever.
You know, the gay Bee Gees are gay.
The gay Bee Gees are
gay. Damn band.
Like, oh, wait, there's two swear words. We got
a
damn
Bee Gees. Words, but they're really foreign in East Germany, so. There's a lot of questions around the song before we get into the music.
Tuesday to Saturday, money's all been spent. Maybe Friday, rob a bank.
Yeah.
Driving around in your big black car, it's not a BMW, a company car. It's gonna be an accident. It's gonna be. The acid was dangerous red. Fire magic in my head. Walking around with heavy manners. You're going home in a fucking ambulance. There's gonna
there
be
go.
An
fucking
accident.
I
didn't swear as much as the.
There's gonna be.
Yeah, but he used one that counts for
one. I'll follow me down.
hold on, guys, because that big fat bass line.
For sure, the place was going down. Over. No?
All right, so that is Bader Meinhof with "There's Gonna Be an Accident." We got remnants of Brett on tape there.
Actually, if having heard the song, I think David's pronunciation is a little bit too guttural for Ben. We need a 6-year-old girl to say "Bader Meinhof."
Oh, there you go. That's actually kind of sick. Could you heel in on the mic and try that once? Come on, do it for me. Heel in.
Bader Meinhof.
Okay, hold on.
I'm not even sure why that's funny, but that's hilarious.
All right, hey, Bob, I want to talk about your bike trip. Can we talk about your bike trip?
Sure, let's go for it.
All right, what's a bike trip to you? What is a bike trip? Like a trip to the store, a trip to work?
Ideally, it would probably be, 1 year off traveling across Siberia.
Nice. Okay. Yep.
Something involving Homeland Security.
Okay, well that's your
second spike.
That's more your bike fantasy. But your bike reality is you take,
every year.
1 year, you take one big bike trip, right?
Right. Each year, I take a trip in the fall. It's usually a nice time of year when hopefully it's a little cooler, but the days are not so short like in winter.
So you've done the North Shore, the entire North Shore.
No,
really? How far did you go?
I did a skirted the edges of the Boundary Waters Wilderness.
Oh, I didn't know you went
on
that
gravel
deep.
Roads, and then
that
did
was
a
like
loop
2 years
and came
ago, right?
back out. That was last year.
Last year, yeah.
So where'd you go this year?
400 some miles last year in 6 days.
Wow. So where'd you go this year?
This year was kind of a following rivers and coulees in Minnesota, Iowa, and Wisconsin.
So nice. This year you went south.
Yeah.
South from Minnesota, Minneapolis.
Oh, I love going south. So.
That was I did 660 miles in 7 days all with all my
short
kit
trips
for camping. And.
Okay, so
valleys.
For me, it was like two days to go in your bike trip, and I went over to your house. For some reason, I think our kids were playing together, and while we were there, Julie got a call from somebody. I think it was the guy who you were actually riding with, who said that you guys had split up, and it was kind of what the hell's going on? And so what happened? What was the big split?
Well, I think
so. It was just two people. To clarify, there's just two people on this trip.
Yeah. So. It was just my friend and I and
two people who are into punishing themselves. I mean, that's a lot of miles in 6 or 7 days.
Well, I'm like I said before, my fantasy bike trip would be going around the world, the hard way, or on gravel and back roads and stuff like that. And I think my expectations and having laid out the route versus him not being involved in the planning and being really busy. I think we had very divergent expectations of how much distance was going to be covered each day and how, and then of course with really shitty rainy weather every day.
So you were expecting to push yourself and he was expecting something a little easier.
Yeah. I think he wanted to have a vacation and for me, a vacation is
that is not a vacation.
Yeah.
Well, that's your special style vacation. It's a challenge, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. So I think, kept giving some, shall we say, non-constructive feedback about the route options.
Yeah.
And then there was a
why don't we take a shortcut? Why don't we go somewhere else?
A fair amount of bitching about the
when
weather.
We turn around.
on both of our parts. And then we had detours. There was a lot of road construction, which we didn't reckon with. And then I had scanned parts of maps that I was going to follow.
Didn't it rain this entire week?
Yeah,
well?
It rained every day.
Oh, it rained every day. That sucks.
And every setting up your camp in the dark and at night in the rain and you're tired. You got 90, 100, 110 miles under your belt, and things are just sort of set up for you don't have great accommodations,
right?
Right. Yep. So we're totally roughing it, and I just think that.
Well, are you squatting in fields and stuff? I mean, where are you camping? Are you picking out campsites to make it to?
Well, we had
campgrounds.
Yeah, we had targeted, you know, or I had because I did all the planning.
A little bit of animosity.
Campgrounds.
There. Shane, you bastard.
Campgrounds.
Did you bottle your urine on these trips and then drink it to replenish your lost fluids and vitamins?
Well, that is a good idea. But no.
Yeah, no.
No, I just wear my wool jersey and then wring out the sweat into my water bottle.
Ooh, nice.
Rehydrate off of that.
Well, you know, it's one thing to travel with somebody. Like, to do a road trip, like get in a car and drive to Milwaukee to see Rage Against the Machine or something. It's another thing to subject yourself to a difficult trip like that. Like, to go on a long hike or to go camping or something. I mean,
well, plus if you have different goals. I mean, Bob had the goal of kind of to push himself, it sounds like, to push himself physically. Where the other guy had a goal just to take some time off.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you have different goals, it's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I think it was a little doomed from the beginning there.
Well, that was that. And then there was another dimension of stress that he had with having to cut out of work on a, you had planned this trip for many, many, to take this time off work for many months, but at the same time, he was at a critical juncture at a project and he was getting calls or voicemails on his cell phone. So we'd, you know, if we had cell phone reception, he would call in, check messages, and it was always some disaster, you know.
Stressing him out.
Yeah.
So he had to, you know, do some quick talking and try and sort that stuff out. So I don't think he was in a very good place.
Yeah, so not.
You know, I brought a song from the Eels today, and the original song I was going to bring was called "It's a Motherfucker." And that actually kind of really fits with what Bob went through on that week. It's an M&M effort.
All right, so what'd you bring, Dave?
World of Shit by the Eels from an album called Soul Jacker.
Thank you.
not a lot. I really am not a fan. I've done some music exchanges with friends, so my music collection has grown faster than I can listen to it. And I hadn't listened to it, and when I was looking for songs with swear words, this one came up, and I like it. It's got some weird stuff on it, but some of the songs are pretty good.
Yep.
So the Soul Jacker song from the album is really good, too.
Cool. All right, I'm borrowing that one from you.
All right.
All right, so guys, we got to take this out. We're coming up on our time limit here, our agreed-upon time limit. Guys, thank you for listening, everybody. You got anything to say, email us at musicswearby@gmail.com. Google it, tell your friends, help make us rich and famous. Question for you, Bob, if I'm stranded in the woods, what's one item that I'm going to have with me aside from my wool shirt?
How about a flint?
A flint, excellent. Dave, you're stuck in the bathroom at the doctor's office and you need to masturbate. What's the one thing you're going to need to have with you?
I don't need a thing. I'm all set.
Awesome. All right, hey, and guys, anything else before we go out?
Suck it.
Bob, say bye to the folks.
Bye to the folks.
All right, until then, pardon the profanity.
It's like the gay Bee Gees.
I guess I liked it because it talks about a train.